You have just entered the Katie Ma Podcast.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome to episode 293 of the Katie Ma Podcast. It is September 17th, 2017, and we're here again with you today. You all right, Katie? You looking, taking your glasses?
No, I feel great. I'm just greeting the viewers with a pleasant smile.
Okay.
Audio listeners, imagine me just smiling fiercely at the camera. And,
yes, yeah. Took his glasses off for that one. It was very, very nice.
Very courteous of you.
But yeah, we got Katie here. We've got Ying joining us yet again, who is not really a fill-in, just basically becoming a permanent fixture on this cast from week to week. Thank you, Ying, for joining us again.
Of course.
And Brandon is at another wedding. I think he's been, if my calculations are correct, 632 weddings so far this year alone, which is incredible considering basically double the amount of
his weddings per second is incredible.
It's nuts. It's crazy. No, I was actually talking in the pre-show, before we went live, I was like, I need Brandon next week. We need to ask, tally how many weddings he's actually been to this year, because I feel like it's so many. I feel like he's always at a wedding.
Definitely.
But yeah, so just us three this week. But, you know, again, when the warden's away, the inmates will play. So we are the inmates.
And that so perfectly describes the casts when Brandon is not.
Isn't it? Right? I mean, we're basically like, you know what? It's like Daddy Warden's gone. He's not going to keep us in our cages. We're out, dude.
Star put away.
Maybe even some anal play, Katie. Who knows?
Ooh.
That's for people that were.
If only Brandon was here. That's a question I would love to hear from him.
Yeah.
I'm really.
Like his thoughts on it?
By him, his sexual fantasies, he'd be very strict and by the rules, by the numbers.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Brandon's probably a bit of a freak, to be honest. Not a freak, but I think he probably has some proclivities that would surprise us. I put Brandon in a box.
I think Brandon is definitely very dominant in the bedroom.
Okay, I can see that.
Indisputable.
Absolutely. You think? Yeah.
Think about it.
I think he has. I think there's schedules. I think there's spreadsheets. I think it's very
scenario for set quotas.
Yeah, we'll have to. Anyway, we got to ask him more. I'm just guessing, but I honestly don't know.
Why didn't you say in Slack you were ready to switch positions? How am I supposed to know this?
Oh no! All right.
Yeah. This he has an entirely separate doc for.
All right.
For the intercourse he's having next week.
Yeah, exactly. We have to. But yeah, so
he's got like a 2 terabyte hard drive of.
Anyway, all that to say, Brandon should be joining us again next week. So hopefully his wedding goes well. But what you guys been up to? What's been happening this week for you two? Anything of note? Anything exciting? You go first, Katie. I could see the look in your face, and that was like, my God, my week was nuts, dude. Let me go first.
Well, I've been making some purchases. I've been gone for a while, so I've been buying some things. Been for like what about 2 weeks? I've been gone.
2 weeks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so I made a couple purchases. I bought a smartwatch after putting that off for a while. I have like a ASUS ZenWatch 2, which is pretty good so far. It was pretty cheap for what I got it at, and pretty much I just wanted something to like check notifications on my phone without having to take like my phone out of my pocket every single time.
Okay,
it's pretty good. It's basic smartwatch, and then but mainly. This is really going to sound like I went to GameStop, but I definitely didn't go to GameStop for this. I traded in a bunch of old games to like a used game store and put it towards like store credit there, and actually picked up an Xbox 360 after never owning one in my life.
Really? So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like
never
it.
Had one. And so there's like a little stack of games behind me. Pretty much just have, all the Halos that came out for it, except for 1 and 2, all the Gears, and then Red Dead Redemption. So I'm going to try to play through most of those.
Nice, dude. Did you get one that's guaranteed to Red Ring, or you're not? Or like, do you know which? Is it like a newer, one of the newer?
Yeah, it's like the E model, the newest one.
Oh, okay, yeah. You'll be fine then.
Yeah, no touch-sensitive bullshit buttons. I hate those. It's very small and compact. I love it. It's beautiful.
Good, man. Proud of you for finally pulling the trigger on... The 360, arguably the most technologically consistent and reliable machine to ever for any console, I would say. Definitely.
Cool.
No, I'm a little bitter because I've had I think I had two or three red rings of death over the course of my Xbox 360 time. But again, I was obviously a moderately early adopter when it came out. But that's good. Okay, so a watch, a new old console,
relatively new. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool going back to because at this point the console is like pretty much, I guess, dead. Yeah. So all these games are like $4 each. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you get a lot of opportunity to play some good games for cheap. That's good. Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. So yeah, it's been cool. Just been hitting that up.
Nice. All right. What about you, Ying? Anything fun? Anything exciting? Back to the workaround, right after your vacation last week?
Yeah. Back to it. So that's all I've been doing. Just been keeping busy at work. Nothing too exciting. Just basically my life consists of going to work, coming back and playing video games with as many people as I can find, going to sleep way too late, and then waking up again and going to work, doing it all over again.
Gotcha.
What a way to live.
At least until I've finished saving up for to pay off my hotel for TwitchCon.
Nice.
So that's exciting. But other than that, no, just working games.
Working games. Gotcha. Well, nothing. No shame in that. No shame in that life.
No, as you said, it's been nice actually having that consistency.
Awesome, very cool. Yeah. This week, I'm trying to think if anything too crazy went down. Not really. Just keeping on. Was able to hang out, saw my brother yesterday, which was cool. He lives in Jersey, so he happened to be in the area and was able to see him, have dinner with him and his wife, and planning to see it either Thursday or Friday with him and my father. So hopefully, because I've been kind of dragging them with me, because he loves the book as I do, but my dad hasn't read the book but really was interested in the movie, so kind of will be a spanning of interest in it. But hopefully to see that, and then also we also want to see Mother, which has gotten really mixed reviews, and I hear it's pretty rough as well. So we'll see. Maybe we'll do a double feature on Thursday or Friday. But all right. So let's get to what people don't give a shit about anything I just said. People want to know what we've been eating, guys. Anything of note? Any delicacies? Anything on the palate? Tell me about the fast food situation, Katie. Because a couple weeks ago we talked about how. you went and left a review for this Wendy's that you know been going to for a long time, and the service was horrible, and you were so fed up. Any changes on that end? Have you been not going to Wendy's? Have you been switching it up?
I think at that moment I was lost in a very passionate fit at that time. I mean, I've been going to, it's not like I've been strictly boycotting that Wendy's.
Okay. I didn't know if you were just going to like not go anymore after leaving the review.
I mean, I'm just walking from where I work, and my only choices are Wendy's and McDonald's. Gotcha. So it's
That's tough.
Don't include McDonald's. But but mainly just having a lot of really good home cooked meals. I had some ribs tonight, some corn, and yesterday I had a delicious cheese chicken casserole, and it was lovely. And if anyone has a problem with that, you can go fight me out in the parking lot, brother.
Dang. I love that you have to defend casserole to this chat, because they'll be like, casserole?
I do.
Dude, I love a good casserole. People are haters, though. I feel you. Okay, but
you're the one giving me shit about it.
I know, no. The problem is the way that you describe casserole as like, okay, you know what? No, let's not get into this right now.
What, this like artisan? I know
as this
it's
artisan
really,
thing,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
But again, maybe your mom makes an artisan level casserole that is transcendent. It's very possible, because I just haven't had great casserole. Because I didn't grow up in Indiana, but
once you eat my casserole, your life will be over.
Oh,
you'll never want to eat. Wow.
It's so bad it'll kill you. That's what I'm getting at. That.
Yeah, right.
That's got to be an appropriate soundbite for something. Of Katie saying, "Once you eat my casserole, your life will be over."
That's like a threat. Are you trying to promote your casserole? That's like that doesn't seem good.
I'm not even talking about food there.
Oh, gotcha. makes sense. But no, so, yeah. but again, back to the Wendy's thing. You've been going and the service has been the same. They stepped it up. No. Like, what's the status? Is it still terrible service?
I've yet to have another really bad experience in there, I guess. It's just been more of the same.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's nothing really stand out. It's just, you know.
You're not getting the service with the smile that you were talking about. Like, you haven't really gotten
yeah, that. But since we talked, I can't really go in expecting that. Yeah. You know, so at this point, I don't even care. I just want the food.
Just get the food honest. And gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
What about you? What about you, Yang? Anything? Anything in particular
nothing crazy.
On the food?
I've been trying to cook more at home, or at least get into the habit of cooking things that I can sort of spread out over the course of multiple meals. Mm. So, yesterday I made my own fried rice,
nice.
Which ended up going very well. What inspired that was that I actually got like a new wok, and I was like, okay, I better make use of this because I've been having it forever. You ever like where you have like, an appliance and you feel like if you don't use it, you basically use it so you don't feel guilty about having it.
Sure. Forces you to
I ended up making making chicken, bacon, and egg fried rice, which ended up going really well.
Sounds good.
And then I tried to make soup, which didn't go so well.
What was the soup you tried to make?
It wasn't anything special. It was just like this chicken broth prawn noodle soup. Mm. But it was maybe the most boring thing I have ever eaten in my life. And I was so ashamed of myself because I'm used to like my grandmother would make soup like that, and it would be so incredible that by making soup that had such a lack of taste in any sense, felt like I was offending her in some way.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to have to try to work on that. But other than that, I haven't been anything too special.
Okay. Very cool. Well, don't be too hard on yourself, man. I mean, a good soup can take years to craft.
It's down the drain.
Was it so bland and like?
It was not worth it. It was like it almost felt better to like instead just drink water.
Wow!
And made it less flavorful. Happened.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I actually I went to this place. I went to this restaurant that and bar that claims to have the world's largest selection of draft beer. And I don't know if it's I think there's a couple different locations perhaps, but it's called the Yard House, and they have their draft beer selection is actually incredible. It's overwhelming. They have pretty much everything, and their menu is also very large. And I got a burger. I got a really unique burger that I don't generally tend to go too far out of the way when I order burgers. Like I'll do the standards, but I usually won't do. Sometimes when it's like the savory and sweet, I'll kind of steer away from that stuff. But this one, you know, waitress came over and I was like, and my brother asked her, he's like, we're trying to decide between, I was going to get the lamb burger, which sounded great, but I've had many lamb burgers before. I was like, maybe it's time to, you know, try something else. And this one was called the Kurobuta pork burger. Mm. And this is the ingredients. Listen to this. Spicy candied bacon, white American cheese, arugula, blueberry ketchup. And it's a pork burger.
Huh. Yeah.
So, again, the ingredients sounded interesting. I was like, this sounds pretty good. But, yeah, again, you never know when you're taking a shot. And we just came over and said, I'm pretty picky, and I'll tell you right now, the pork burger that you just talked about is the best burger that we have on the menu. She said, perfectly balanced. So my brother and I were like, all right, you know what? We'll both get it. It was incredible. It was one of the best burgers I've ever had. So she didn't steer us wrong. Yeah, perfect. Like the candy bacon, they loaded it up with it. You got the salt, but then you got the sweet as well. The blueberry ketchup, blueberry was kind of, I didn't really get much blueberry. It was just a little bit kind of more of a sweet ketchup, kind of getting that feel. But it also had, they don't have this on here, but it also had a bit of heat. It had some jalapeno in it too, as well. So fantastic. Really, really good burger. And you know what was really messed up is as I was eating it, I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to have something to talk about on the podcast for something I ate. Which only really made me enjoy the burger even more when I was thinking about it. But, yeah, it was pretty good.
I do recall, and I'm wondering what your thoughts on that are, because I do recall you were a supporter of the idea that if you really wanted to enjoy a burger, you don't have anything fancy on it.
Absolutely.
It's like bun, meat, cheese, and that's it.
Well, no. So my argument is not that to enjoy a burger. My argument is if you want to do a test of what has of a place that has the best burger, if you're doing a true test.
Oh, okay. Like a baseline.
A baseline test, you strip all the stuff away. If we're just talking about meat quality, like bun and cheese, like ratio, you just go full plain. Yeah, absolutely. And I still maintain that. Like, I still maintain that In-N-Out, if you just get a plain cheeseburger In-N-Out, is one of the it's a piece of art. It's incredible. You don't need anything else. You don't need any condiments. The meat itself, the cheese, the way they toast the bun, really, really good. And I think that is a good baseline, too, for testing, like, other places when people are like, this place has the best burger. It's not that, like, condiments and stuff can't, like, make it better. It's just, like, I feel like sometimes that will mask. People will use that and be like, oh, like, you ever seen a burger that has, like, 16 things on it? It's like, the one that really gets me, too, is, like, onion strings and shit. Like, it's like, it'll be like, onion strings and barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese and bacon and we put guacamole. And I'm like, okay, but is there even, are you even tasting the meat at this point? So I do kind of have, like, a cutoff for amount of ingredients on a burger. Like, I don't know, maybe five or six, but much beyond that, I'm kind of like, all right. That's a little suspect. I feel like maybe they're trying to cover it up.
Right, because at that point, it's not really a hamburger. It's just sort of like this amalgamation of condiments.
It's just like the burger becomes like the plate for the buffet of everything else. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah,
I understand that.
Yeah, but this was really good. And again, like I said, I don't always tend to branch out when it comes to kind of burgers like that, and I didn't get steered wrong. So you know what? More experimentation. Next time I'm out and I'm going to get a burger, I'm going to go a little off the beaten path, and you know what? I might get hurt, but I'm willing to risk it because I had a good experience this last time. So feeling pretty good. The place was really good too. I got like this draft beer that, it had like a peach aftertaste to it. I love fruity beer. I was going to say chick, but I'm sure that's offensive for somebody to assume that only chicks like to drink fruity beers. Cause that's not true. I, as a guy, like to drink fruity beers too. But anyway, I like the more fair kind of beers. I'm not a huge, I don't like dark, really dark beers or IPAs. So I tried this, I forget the exact name of it, but it was really good. It was like, you got like a normal kind of lighter beer up front, and then you got the aftertaste of like, just like a really ripe peach. Like, but it wasn't like an oversweetened beer either, which is, that's the other thing I don't really like, is sometimes when you go with the fruit beers, it's like, you might as well just be drinking fruit juice. It's like, it's super strong. And this was just the right amount. So, all right. Well, let's talk a little bit about if there's any other eating stories. Anybody go dumpster diving, picking through the trash, nothing like that.
Dumpster diving for
for food. You never heard of that? Oh, really? That's just me. Okay, never mind. That was 2 weeks ago. So it's
not this week.
Okay. Well, what have we been playing? What games? I know we have some crossover, Katie. So let's have you go first.
Let's tackle that first. We tried to play some games that, you know, you would think wouldn't crash on you given moment. But we tried playing Alien Swarm Reactive Drop with Timmy and Tomb.
Yes, we did.
Which is that free to play game on Steam, co-op missions, shooting aliens, or no, like aliens? Aliens in the title, so I think they're aliens.
Yeah,
I think so. It's a swarm of aliens, an alien swarm. And the level we played, every single time we would get to the boss or shortly after the boss, the game would either boot us to the menu or it would outright crash the game. And
did you get the crash where it literally would just instantly close and there was no error message, nothing. It's just,
it's gone. Yeah, our crashes were like identical also. Yeah. Like when one of us would go back to the main menu, we all would, or one of us would like crash like that. We'd all go straight back to desktop. Like it was so frustrating. It was insane. Three that you made on stream.
I was about to say that may have been the most emotional I have ever heard Scott give.
That was
from the diaphragm.
It was from the diaphragm, and it was, you know what, those rees, like that. It was totally. I was not controlling my vocal cords or my body because like that was my genuine reaction. Was like, I can't believe this crashed again. Because we gave it, we gave it four shots? Mm-hmm. Four or five shots?
Yeah. Like, I mean, not counting deaths, we gave it like, I would say we crashed four times total.
Yeah.
But we were playing it for a while.
We were, but it seemed almost, now going back, I'd have to time it, but it almost like the intervals seemed like it was almost on the timer where it would let us play for like 15 minutes or 20 minutes and then it would just crash. And it's a shame because the game as a free-to-play kind of shooter, it's fun. Oh, there's a lot of opportunity, like playing co-op with your friends. Like, there's friendly fire. There's a lot of like kind of funny stuff that can go down. It's like very competent. It's just, I don't know. Like, We were all getting the crash stuff, so that seems to be a fundamental issue with the game itself and not, like, just one of us on, like, hardware that doesn't like it. So, yeah, kind of disappointing. But,
I mean, you know, from what we played, I would say it was fun. So,
yeah,
it was just too bad. But other than that, I streamed a little bit. I wanted to stream a game I've never played before. And actually, I've never played any of the Half-Lifes.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, I was streaming Half-Life 1 for about an hour and a half, and that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
The game still holds up pretty well.
What did you think? How long did you, or how far are you into it? How many hours did you
play? Not too far at all, because, I've been having issues with OBS, and I think it's been affecting the game as well, too. Mm. Like, the game has been, like, crashing a lot, and the game's, like, constantly quick saving. Mm. So I need to see what's going on there, so I didn't really get too far. Steam says I'm 90 minutes played, so, relatively far in there. People in the chat also are asking me to bring up the Sakura bundle that I purchased.
Yeah.
Exactly from that, but,
Yeah,
all that needs to be known is that I played Sakura Swim Club to completion with the 18-plus patch.
There was completion.
I definitely played that game until completion.
Okay.
Everyone knows.
Oh, boy.
And I plan on playing multiple Sakura games until completion.
Mm-hmm.
Is it their completion? Is it my completion?
Right.
We'll see.
Okay.
Because that game actually kind of sucked.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. Doesn't seem like it's really people are purchasing it for the gameplay or story.
No, not for the gameplay or the story. Just, I mean, with that in mind,
How much was the bundle, by the way, that you purchased?
I think I bought the highest tier. I think I bought the $10 one.
Oh my lord! I thought you were going to be like it was like $1 or $2, so I had to pick it up, but it was $10.
I just thought, why not?
Okay.
Why not? So, yeah. You know what?
No judgment. $10
donation to charity.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's look at it that way.
That's for a good cause.
It was, yeah. So I played those, and then Half-Life was. I really enjoyed what I played. That game was. It was actually surprisingly scaring me from times. Like I haven't made it out of the kind of science place, like in the laboratory yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I haven't made it outside, but
yeah.
It's been. I'm playing it on the hardest difficulty,
mm.
and I think that's a great way to play it. It's pretty fun. And, I played some CSGO with you
That's
guys
right.
for
you
a little
did play
bit.
CSGO.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Which I got really
so
into.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Made some comments about elevators.
My favorite call. So I love playing CS with you because you're just so mobile to it. And I have been playing Counter-Strike, and a lot of people that were playing with me have been playing Counter-Strike for lots of years. And I have never heard the double doors in... on B site on Dust 2 called Katie, what were you calling that at one point during the game?
I called it Gate.
Gate. So he's like panicking and he's like, Gate, he's gate, he's gate. And I knew what you meant because I was like, there's nothing else that even, but I don't think I've ever heard it called Gate because it doesn't look anything like a gate. It's like clearly.
It really doesn't. Yeah. I don't know what I was saying. I say a lot of really dumb, like, on top of my call-outs just being really, like, inaccurate, not good.
Yeah.
Well, just I think what really makes the experience is that when you play Counter-Strike with KD, sobering effect because you're playing the game. It's everything you're familiar with.
Right.
But then KD will make sounds when things happen to him.
Yes, that's right.
It makes you pause and you're like, is KD actually there right now? Did he actually just get shot 4 times with an AK-47? Because the sounds that come out of you mid-game are incredible.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the amazing thing. Yeah. Like, every time you die, it's like, again, like Yang said, you've died in real life. Or if something will happen, like you'll see a sick play, you'll be like, and it is. It's an experience. I recommend it.
I'm going to, coming up, like, probably right after the cast, I'm going to jump in and just play Game Types 2 because I want to get a better, like, feel for the game. I'm going to, like, grind to get Prime on my account.
Nice.
Which, because first I was like, dude, I have 190 hours played in this. Why do I need to? Oh, that's why. Calling the game. Shit like that.
Right.
So yeah, I'm going to try and be on a more suitable level with you guys next time we play. But we'll see. The thing I've been... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, bring your winning personality, and I don't care how many frags you get. I just enjoy the experience. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's all I need.
Yeah.
But the main thing I've really been putting a lot of time into mm-hmm. was Tales of Berseria. Is a game on PS4 and PC. It's like the 16th, 17th main title in the Tales of series. It's kind of like Final Fantasy, but it's more like kind of action gamey, more than RPG kind of game. Mm-hmm. And that's actually, I'm about 25, 26 hours into it, and it's showing up to be like one of the best RPGs I've played, honestly. Like it's got a really refreshing story where it's like it's not like a generic, fantasy story or like kind of, JRPG story. It's like, let me think. Imagine if it's like the king of the land is like, everybody loves him. Oh, he's so cool. But to bring the land into peace or whatever, mm-hmm. he had to do something really fucked up a while ago and incredibly slight one person.
Mm.
And it's like, you play as that person, three player. And you're like a demon now and you're going on your revenge. And so it's kind of questioning everybody loves him and he's, the state the world is in is so much better because of him, but he did this terrible, terrible thing and you want your revenge. And so it's kind of like reason versus, so you're kind of playing as the villains throughout the whole game. And just the way the story's been going has been like, for the most part, not really what I've been expecting at all. So it's been a pretty fun game and the gameplay is really fun. I think it's on sale on Steam right now for $25 and I can tell you already, that's a great, great purchase. Definitely check that out.
Cool.
But, yeah, that's it. Also, Nier Automata is only $38.99. Mm. That is a must purchase.
Absolutely. Right, and if you can't afford the $24.99 for Nier Automata, you could just go to Rule 34 and then search that as well, and you can get a lot of the content for free, I would argue.
You get your time's worth there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, either way, you're going to be completing.
I was just going to say, I've played the subreddit to completion to like Nier Automata, let me tell you. Many times.
In a manner of speaking.
Yeah, sure.
To completion.
Cool. All right. Pretty varied this week. I like it, Katie. What about what about you, Jacob? Oh, it feels so weird. I'm so sorry.
God, Yang. Don't do that.
I know. I just wanted to try.
No, I haven't been playing. Haven't been playing too much actually. It's mostly been Counter-Strike, and of course the crossover with Katie and us playing Counter-Strike games there. Yep. Which I have to say, Katie, playing Counter-Strike with you is one of the best experiences ever. So every time we manage to get you in the lobby, it doesn't like win or lose. It's a win in my books just for having you in the game.
Oh, well, thank you.
Agreed.
But the one game that actually I was really skeptical about this at first, but I have put quite a bit of time into it since, mostly with a bunch of the KB Mod guys and Timmy, and and from what I understand, I may be putting out false information here, but I believe it's a Dave Oshry game, testing out a game called Unfortunate Spaceman.
Mm. I've been hearing buzz. People are texting me about it. People are like, you got to get a key for this.
Yeah. I have to say, Scott, I really think you should play this game with a bunch of people.
Okay.
And I think KD would be wonderful in it. Like, it's one of those games that if you have a good personality, it really, really shines through on the gameplay. The reason I was skeptical about it is because it really is just Trouble in Terrorist Town. Okay. It's the same concept. Yeah. But it's done very well. So all it is, there's several different maps. Everyone is a spaceman, and you have all these tasks that you need to do in order to summon a rescue shuttle.
Okay.
Except that one of the spacemen is actually an alien monster. And the alien monster has to try to sabotage the spaceman and eventually try to kill them off one by one. And it's all done very, very nicely. And you have to use the in-game voice chat because the monster can do things like cut off radio comms. You can only hear people who are within a certain distance of you, and the radio, like the experience of having like the proximity radio and hearing people who are very far away from you, and not sure where they are totally. But it's this whole crafted experience that ends up making, as I said, if you have like a good group of people to play it with, it becomes a lot of fun.
Nice.
And there's a surprising amount of depth to it as well. Like, we thought we would just hop in and it would be a pretty simple experience to, go in, try to figure out who the monster is, kill them, and that'd be the end of the game.
Yeah.
But there's like a perk system. There's all these different things you can do as the monster to try to win, whether you want to try to kill people off, or if you're trying to sabotage them, turn them against each other. we ended up finding out that there's actually quite a bit of strategy involved with how you want to play all of this. So that's been a lot of fun, especially because it gives you the opportunity to sort of have fun with it and be silly and just the way it's a good canvas for a lot of fun moments between like a group of friends playing it. And so I thought I was going to maybe hop in and play like one or two games of it and, you know, whatever. It's basically Gmod. And yet earlier today I played a couple hours of it because people from last night were like, we got to play this again. It was so much fun. And, for it being as early as it is in terms of development, I'd never encountered a bug or anything like that. The gameplay is pretty solid. The game runs well. So, if you have a group of people to play this game with, it's called Unfortunate Spaceman. I'd highly recommend it. It is just like the Trouble in Terrorist Town concept, but it's executed in such a way that I think it's quite an improvement on the original concept. So that's really the only different thing I've been playing. Other than that, it really has just been Counter-Strike if I've had time to play games at all, really. But Counter-Strike and Unfortunate Spaceman, which I thought was going to be sort of like a quick hit with me, but turned out to be a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah, I'll definitely have to pick it up and play some of this. I'm intrigued. I mean, it's universally across the board. Everybody that's been hitting me up has been like, yeah, it's super fun. Like, especially with the group.
I really do think, Scott, that this would be a game for you to play, especially with, like, if you can get Katie in there and, like, Tomb and Timmy. And, like, these are all, like, anyone who, even, like, a lot of people in chat would be a lot of fun to play that game with. So.
Nice. Cool. All right. Unfortunate Spaceman.
I highly recommend picking that game up.
Very cool.
I think it's like $15 on Steam too, and that's absolutely worth it if you have a group of people.
Nice. All right. And then for me, yeah, I pretty much echo nothing too new or crazy. I mean, obviously the alien swarm stuff that Katie said was probably the weirdest thing. Yeah, I'm still playing FIFA, still getting destroyed, though I did beat Czech 1-0. That was my only win on Thursday. But hey, still trying to learn. But then got really frustrated because Origin is an absolute piece of shit, and that's really – I can't see certain people online when I'm trying to play other people in the chat, and it's really making me question if I want to get FIFA 18 on PC, if Origin's going to continue to act like the way that it does. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll just end up buying – 2K is through Steam, I think, right? 2K is not – yeah, because EA has NBA Live. So maybe I'll switch to basketball. I don't know. But the whole restarting Origin and trying to figure out, like, hey, why can't I see half my friends list online in this game though they're playing it? And so kind of disappointing on that front, but we'll see. All right, well, let's move on from what we've been doing, what we've been eating, what we've been playing. Let's move on to a little bit of news here. And I know, guys, all right, before you turn the podcast off, okay, I know that we literally, and I'm using the word literally here because we literally talk about PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds every episode of the podcast, basically since it's come out, since the game's come out, excuse me, not the KBMod podcast. That would have been some serious foresight by us. But, you know, PUBG is, it's a phenomenon, and we've talked about it. We've kind of analyzed it, the reasons we think that it is as successful as it is. Sometimes scratching our head, though, and saying, like, where's the, you know, what's going to be where does it plateau? We have no idea. And again, to prove this, I feel like it was it last week or the week before, we were like, you know, we're going to be talking about it probably next week or the week after. It's going to break another record. It's going to be another number. And here we go. Starting off the new section this week, Battlegrounds has now beaten Dota 2 for the highest concurrent player record of all time on Steam. And again, not shocking necessarily because it was already... for certain sessions, it was already having more concurrent players than Dota, but now it's officially the highest of any game ever at one time. Concurrent players, 1.3 million. So Dota's was 1.29 million. And again, I'll just, you know what, before we get into it too deep, let me just ask your guys' thoughts. Surprise at this point, more just par for the course. Like, what do you guys think when you see numbers like that?
I think it's particularly impressive in that the game that is beating, not only is it popular, but that game is also free to play.
True. Dota, I didn't even think about that. That's true.
I think that's maybe the most impressive part about this, is that Dota 2 regardless of like the fact that it's popular is one thing as well, but it is so accessible, you do not have to pay a penny in order to play it. Whereas PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, you do have to, that is a game that you have to buy in order to play. So the fact that it has more concurrent users than a game that costs you literally nothing to play is impressive just on that point alone.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point.
Dota 2 is like, just on its player base alone is to beat that is impressive. But the fact that you have to pay to play PlayerUnknown's Battleground and you can pay nothing to play Dota 2, but PUBG surpassed that, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts. Yeah, I mean, when you put the free-to-play thing into perspective, again, it's just more like, which, oh my God. Katie, what are your thoughts? I mean, you played a decent amount of PUBG.
Yeah, I really, for a game like this, I can't really, it's still hard to believe that something, because I thought about, you know, before PUBG came out, I'm looking at like, you know, CSGO and Dota 2, those are pretty much the two kings of Steam. And I thought, you know, what's going to come along to be, you know, what's going to be up there with them? And for something like PUBG, PUBG is a hard game.
Yeah.
And like PUBG, you know, in early access, I feel like if there wasn't a large streaming presence for this, it would be hard for some people to get into. But I'm really surprised at how well it's taken off. And I think it deserves the hype it's getting.
Okay.
It's a pretty, you know, it's a very well-made game. For sure. Yeah.
So there we go. What records will it shatter next week? I mean, who knows? It is now the king when it comes to Steam. Again, I don't think very many people expected Dota to really probably ever be dethroned for the factors that you said, Yang, just the fact that it was free to play anyway. So that's going to give you an advantage, especially if it's popular, because there's really no barrier to entry right there for most people. Just a rig that can run the game. I guess on one sense, I'm just going to continue to pat myself and others on this cast on the back, as we just said, you know what, next week we're probably going to have another record. I don't know, another record breaker. I don't remember. I think I had said, because Mike in chat was asking me, like, how long, because we said it was going to surpass Dota at some point, and I think we had taken a guess at, like, when it was going to be. And I don't think I said, I don't think last week or the week before I said, a couple weeks. I think I said a month or two, so I wasn't exactly on, but not that it takes a genius to see that this game is, you know, the hottest shit right now, but still. And to think that we were, again, I said this recently too, but we were like, when this game first came out, we were like, I mean, will it, H1Z1 and PUBG, you know, like, will it really eat into the player base, or will it really, you know? And here we are.
Exactly.
This could spawn like a brand new conversation about, I mean, for years and years and years and years, people have always been talking about, you know, the WoW killer, you know, what's going to end World of Warcraft.
Right. True.
Are we going to see a PUBG killer at some point? I certainly don't think anytime soon, but yeah. I mean, now that we're at a point where it's the most played game concurrently on Steam ever.
Right.
I don't know where the conversation is supposed to go after that, other than, you know, when is it going to end? If it ever does, is there going to be some sort of infamous PUBG killer? I don't know.
That's true, though. When you are the number one dog, that does become the conversation. Like, what's going to dethrone PUBG? Probably nothing for a long time. But, again, can't say never, because we were like, yeah, with Dota, it's probably not going to happen. We can't really see it happening. So, yeah. So, anyway, interesting. Again, this has been, there you go. That's been your weekly KBMOD podcast PUBG topic. A big one, though. Couldn't skip over this one. I mean, you got to talk about it. So, this next topic is also a story that we've talked about quite a bit, and this is interesting just in the fact that Cliff Bleszinski has actually kind of broken his silence and did an interview in regards to the numbers that Lawbreakers has had since launch. And, you know, spoiler alert, we've been talking about them a bunch, so if you listen to the podcast, you already know. It's not good. It's really bad. Someone do the Steam stats real quick right now for me. Let me know. But I mean, let's talking 100, like 100.
Last I checked, it was 191 for Lawbreakers.
Wow.
Oh God. Let's see. I mean, given the time of the day.
True.
126 current players right now for Lawbreakers. Oh, holy
126.
Shit. Oh man.
So
24-hour peak of 203. All time peak of only 7,000 for all time.
All time is only 7,000.
That's crazy.
Wow. That is insane.
So
yeah, I hate to see that.
Yeah, so Cliff Bleszinski, again, I've kind of ranted a bit saying, like, you know, they've made some pretty massive faux pas with the launch of this game, just the way that they handled going back. Like, first they were going to be free to play, then they weren't, then they charged $30, and then, you know, they kind of went back and forth. And then publicly, Bleszinski, you know, he's a pretty polarizing figure and, you know, likes to just kind of shoot his mouth off, which, again, I don't know if that... It's hard to say that it doesn't affect it at all, because there's some people that just won't play games that Cliff Bleszinski makes because they don't like him. So I'm sure that's part of it, but I don't know if you can say that, like, that's like a huge reason the game isn't doing well. But he did take a little credit for being a little bit cocky. So in this interview with GameSpot, he said this. Well, he said a lot of things, but he said, "We need to do what we can do to let people know this is a really sweaty palm type of experience that can hopefully lend itself to esports. But, you know, I have to keep this game alive first and foremost. I can be very cocky and very brash on social media, and realizing that, you know, we have a fledgling player base, to say the least. It's been very humbling for me. I'm going to continue to iterate on the game, continue to add to it, and try to be less of a dick, honestly." So kind of taking a little bit of ownership for some of the stuff he said, which is, I guess, commendable there. And then he also talked about kind of some of the directions they went that people questioned in regards to not having a team deathmatch game mode, and that he didn't want to do this exact same stuff that everybody else was doing, and basically probably to the detriment of the player base and maybe some people that wanted to play the game more casually, they didn't put that game mode in the game. And he was just saying that it was kind of due to his own hubris and not wanting to just be like part of like the normie crowd, I suppose. I just used normie in a sentence. I'm so sorry. But he didn't use the word normie in the interview. But yeah, just a lot of kind of interesting information. And he kind of also takes a little bit of a shot at the PC gaming community. Because he obviously comes from a console background with Gears and all that. But he says that there's a situation where players look at numbers on Steam. That doesn't happen on PlayStation 4. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you look at PC, concurrent user health versus PS4. PS4 is doing fine. He said people cough up $30 and hop online and they don't overthink it, referring to console people. Yeah, because they're less informed. Anyway, sorry, I shouldn't. On PC, there is you wanting to declare something a success or a bomb by this internet culture that loves to just observe things, which that is true. I mean, he's not wrong on that sense, I don't think. I don't think that's like a crazy statement. We do love to like make memes out of games that launch and then aren't as good. So it is pretty brutal to launch a game on PC. But again, I don't know if he's a really good example because he put such a massive target on his back and they reference kind of the tumultuous, I can't say that word, relationship that he's had with the PC crowd ever since. In 2008, he said that PC gaming was in disarray. And that the only titles going forward were going to be WoW and The Sims. So again, I mean, there's a reason people don't like Cliffy B, because he said some really stupid things in regards to, obviously, a platform that we game on. And so I can understand why people don't like him personally. I don't think Lawbreakers is a bad game, but I do think he made a lot of mistakes, and he is kind of owning up to it in the situation. What do you guys think from what you've seen from this article and Lawbreakers in general?
Well, the thing that stood out to me the most... We can relate it back to his comment just about PC gaming, the 2008 comment where he said it's in disarray. There's a very specific lack of foresight that has been applied to how Lawbreakers has been handled. And it's a universal concept you can apply that most businesses actually use. I'm hearkening back to an article that was maybe 2 or 3 weeks old, maybe older than that now. But it was sort of when the first conversation about Lawbreakers' low numbers, when they were first discussing that, and what does that mean for Lawbreakers? And there was an article that came out, which specifically was titled that the developers of Lawbreakers were not worried about the game's slow start.
I do remember that. I kind of do remember that article.
Because that's essentially saying that, you know, you're just not taking into account the severity of this number that's being put towards you. And the reason I relate that back to businesses is that most successful businesses, they'll incite change or they'll try to improve their product when their performance is plateauing.
Yeah.
You know, when things aren't getting better, that's the time when good businesses change. Poor businesses change when things start to go downhill. It is an entirely new level when your business is already at the bottom and you say, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know that any of this is a surprise. It is it is wonderful that Zinsky is actually now taking ownership of that, and he's saying he was stubborn and not taking certain issues seriously. He was applying blame elsewhere. That takes a lot to do, especially when you have so much of your history is, you know, standing up and defending a very unpopular opinion.
Right.
So I don't know that any of the developments are a surprise, but I think more than anything, the article at least shows that he's recognized a lot of these mistakes. I think it's a positive that he's saying, you know, there's an updated roadmap. They have a plan in effect. They're not abandoning the game. They have a lot that they're going to add to it. Because I am one of those people that purchased Lawbreakers, and I just straight up regret the purchase. It's interesting to me that, you know, we've seen that development of, you know, the stubbornness basically steering the course of this game to a point where I don't know if it's that he really actually looked at the problems and thought that, okay, well, really, this does come down to me, or if he just straight up ran out of other things to blame. That's a completely different conversation. But I think the article overall, like the fact that he's taking ownership of this in a very specific and personal way is definitely a big props to him, because I think there's a lot of people that wouldn't do that.
Right.
But I mean, I would love to see Lawbreakers succeed, because I think the basic concept and what he was pursuing is awesome. I don't think that we have a very prominent, you know, extremely fast paced shooter like what Lawbreakers is going for. So I'd love to see the game actually end up being very good, because that's why I bought it. I thought the concept was awesome, but you know, as it stands, and obviously just with the player numbers backing that up, it's just not where the game is right now. But this is one of very many steps that need to be taken in the future if Lawbreakers is going to get out of the I don't know if it's fair to call it a rut, but get out of the state that it's currently in.
Totally. I mean, I agree with everything that you said, and I think it's a good analysis of it. And that is as close to straight up roasting somebody as I think I've ever heard Yang do. So that was amazing.
See, I still don't know how that's a roast.
No, it's not. It was with facts, though. You didn't say anything that's not true. But if only taking responsibility for your mistakes could turn your game around. But like you said, that's not going to really do much. And it's back to what you said where, like, not looking at the trends, saying that they're not worried about the slow start. Again, he admits to being very, very stubborn with a lot of his decisions. And, I mean, again, this is a market that is extremely saturated, especially with first-person shooters in general. And, I mean, and I keep going back to, I really think, especially when you're coming from the background of a game that, where it's a new IP and you need to build that player base. I think them just not going with the free to play model. I think if this game had gone with a free to play model and they figured out the monetization like a little bit later, again, they would at least have had a probably a much stronger player base. I think again, I don't, it's, there's no guarantees. It's hard to say, but I do think that $30 price tag for people and people just kind of going like, yeah, like it looks interesting, but there's too many other things that for $30 that I could play, or if I already own Overwatch or whatever else. Again, I'm not saying it's the same game because it's not. But for the average person, $30 to spend on something like this is I think too much. And so I'll be interested to see what they like again, are they going to do like a sale? Like, I think anything they can do right now to get people, like, again, I wouldn't be surprised if this game goes, we should talk about this. Like, could you see them just being like, we're dropping the $30 price tag, we're giving, you know, we're going to go free to play? Because games have done that too, usually not right away. Usually it's like a while before a game will do that. But there have been games that launched for a price and then went free to play later to try to kind of revive and get themselves going again. And I think that, I don't think you rule that model out with this game at all. I think that's something you have to look at. Yeah. So
I mean, there's a lot of ground that needs to be made up for here. And the difficult part, I think, about being in the situation that the game is in right now is that there's a lot of work ahead of it if it's going to recover at all. And at the end of the day, it might just not recover.
Exactly.
So the whole reality of the situation is very difficult, which is why I think this article is overall a positive one for him to be saying. He actually has a really good line just towards the end of the article here. And he says it's a marathon, not a sprint. So it certainly encourages that he's in it for the long haul, is aware that, you know, it's not going to be a simple model or two change or a tweak or anything like that. But it's going to have to be almost essentially remarketing the game is really what's going to have to happen here, because, I mean, even look at the way we're discussing it right now. The game is just being discussed as a failure, and that's going to have to be changed from the ground up, which is a Herculean task for a developer to pull off.
Agreed. Okay. Well, I know, Katie, you're a huge fan of Lawbreakers, and you've actually decided you're going to be putting your job in streaming Lawbreakers full-time to bring the game back to... Remember, you were messaging that on Discord to me the other day. Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil it for everybody, but no, I'm totally kidding. Though, Katie, I would say, hey, man, you should cut a cliff and say, listen, you want me to revive your game, I'll do it, but you gotta pay me. I mean,
just let them know that you are the one who like really revived the player base for Dino Beatdown.
That's what I was just gonna say. You can give them the Dino Beatdown numbers.
You know, reviving dead games is your business.
Absolutely.
Just for shits and giggles, let's look at the active players for Ryan Dino prelude right now and see how they compare. Let's see.
If there's two, I'm gonna be shocked.
Ooh. Okay. You know what? 41.
Okay. Listen, right, Lawbreakers is not that far away. Yeah. Lawbreakers is not that far away from that. Dang. Okay. Let's see.
That's brutal.
Oh my god, wait. Hold on. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Orion Prelude has an all-time peak of 7,800K.
No. It has a
higher... What does Lawbreakers have?
No. I think it already beats it.
Let's see. Oh, let's see. Oh no. Lawbreakers had 7,400.
It has 400 more all-time. Orion Dino Beatdown. It's cheaper.
It is free to play.
Or it was free to play, that's right. Was it always free to play, though, or didn't they charge it?
It wasn't always. They changed it after a while.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, that's rough. Feels bad. It
sucks.
For Lawbreakers.
But yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to add about this discussion because, you know, I haven't really kept up with, you know, Cliffy B's history, things like that. But, I mean, from the beta I played, it seemed like it definitely had a lot of potential, but it really, like, it's just unfortunate that a game with this much, you know, work put into it is effectively dead, you know? I think the smartest thing to do... Go ahead.
They do address that one of the issues though that they had with introducing the game was that they wanted to have the competitive mode sort of the go-to thing right off the bat.
Right.
Mm.
And never mind the fact that, you know, he does state that it's like, well, sometimes people just want to get in and shoot things and don't have to play competitive, objective-based game modes. But even the game modes when you do jump in, there is no recourse system for people of not just trying. Like, about 50% of the games that I'd go into, there's someone who's AFK, who's just griefing. Like, they're actually just doing it to mess with other people. Mm. And there is no you can't even kick them. There is no vote system. You cannot get around this whatsoever. And so for the stubbornness to come in and say, oh, no, we want people to play our competitive mode, well, then there has to be a competitive structure around it. And that just wasn't there. But that's one of a million things that, you know, you have to imagine that the devs are already perfectly aware of. Mm. But, you know, there's a long list of things that the game has to go through, and we discussed that.
Right. I think most notable would be it's been pointed out in chat, but the most critical mistake is the lack of any kind of waifus.
Mm.
That's
thousands of sales. Yeah, it's at least thousands of sales right there you're missing out on. Because right now, you type in Lawbreakers hentai, and what's going to come up? Nothing. There's nothing to go off.
Okay, hold on. Going incognito.
No.
Give me a second.
Let's
see what I can do.
Yeah, let me do that as well.
Lawbreakers hentai.
This is important research.
Lawbreakers and Overwatch.
I'm seeing it. Oh, I don't want my glasses to reflect anything on my screen.
I got a link for Pornhub that says police officer loves to fuck teen lawbreakers. And that was the tie-in, was that it was they were breaking the law.
Directed by Cliffy B. Wait.
Yeah. Now, this would have, listen, that right there, that would have gotten him a player base, but I think that they didn't want to go that edgy. So, fair enough. Understandable. Yeah,
critical mistake. I'm telling you, dude. Anime girls in any game will raise sales.
That makes me think. Wow. Usually we see a game, and then we have a Rule 34 community constructed around that.
Yeah.
How long until we have a game that's constructed around a Rule 34 creation?
That's right.
So, like, let's...
That's right.
The other way around, the adaptation.
Yeah. I'm sure it's already being worked on, Yang, but yeah, that's true. Oh, man. All right, so we're going to move on. We've got a couple quick hits here. The first one, Katie, which for some reason I thought you played Battleborn, and then I remember you were...
Yeah, you're associating me with Battleborn. I am. I'm not sure why.
And so I thought you'd be disappointed to know that Battleborn is not getting any more updates 50 months after launch, Katie.
My favorite game!
I know. They're done. They're done supporting it with content. The servers are going to remain active, but the update that's coming out soon is going to be the last one. They're saying servers are going to be up for the foreseeable future, and then they said as of this week there will be no more battle plans, and there's currently no planned content after the fall update. Mm-hmm. Details of any future changes or news will be made on the forums, so keep your radar on. But I think the reason that this is somewhat a news story is, I mean, I guess 15 months isn't, that's not super short. I mean,
no, not really.
I guess for some games.
I think for what the game was supposed to be, ending support for it about a little over a year after it was released, I don't think was the plan.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed
given,
like
given like I mean, I, there was like a good, I want to say, month or two where all I heard about was Battleborn. People were excited about it. There was all those. There was like a lot of streamers that were getting into it.
Yeah.
And for a year and a bit after that, to hear that it's just not receiving support anymore, I think that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. That's why I was kind of surprised, because again, I'm not in the, like, I don't play Battleborn or anything, but I do remember the hype around it. So for them to be like, yeah, we're done. Obviously, again, they're not, the servers will stay up, but just no new content. So. There you go. So all you Battleborn fanboys and lovers in the chat and listening to the audio version, sorry to break the news to you, but you probably already knew if you're a diehard, right? That you're not getting the news first here, but I thought we should mention that.
Well, hopefully the people that were working on that can move to other projects. They can hopefully work on something that, isn't, something worth working on.
Were you going to say isn't garbage, or what were you gonna say there?
I heard that Battleborn wasn't garbage. It just had like a really unfortunate release time.
It was directly competing with Overwatch.
Exactly. Yeah. Even though it like wasn't trying to be Overwatch.
Well, sure.
Jim Sterling did a really good video about it. But Oh well.
I mean, at least I think the ray of hope here is, as you're saying, Katie, with the developers. There's a paragraph in here that says Varnell tooted a highly anticipated but so far undescribed project in the works at Gearbox that is commanding his attention. So looks like it was probably a much of a joint decision where they're saying, we have this new project, Battleborn isn't really working out for us. It's not worth it for us to divide our resources this way. At least there is that to look forward to. It's not like these developers are disappearing off the face of the earth with the game. It's just. Sounds like there's something else in the works that's demanding their resources.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, yeah, we can make guesses about that. What that would be, Maybe.
Maybe.
Borderlands 3. Maybe.
Maybe.
Too soon.
Maybe we'll see. Maybe the article even mentions that it's Borderlands. Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. Battleborn 2 coming out.
Battleborn 2.
Oh yeah, they're killing development because he's just working on the second Battleborn.
They're releasing it on the Switch.
Yeah.
Oh my god, on the Switch?
Oh man.
That'd be two sales?
That's what we're going to see next. Battleborn on every, for the next 10 years, Battleborn out, like Skyrim. Like, it's on the Switch. It's like HD texture pack. VR Battleborn. Oh, jeez, please.
Todd Howard is coming out on stage introducing Battleborn, even though he has, nothing to do with that franchise.
Bethesda buys it for some reason, and they just. What if Bethesda just buys, older. Well, that game's not an older game, but. Just decides to buy games that are 10 years old and then just do this re-release thing that they do with Skyrim and everything. And that just becomes their model because it's profitable. I mean,
it'd be kind of viable.
Yeah, actually, it's possible.
I'm trying to think of some games where that would be really interesting. What old game would you want to see completely redone with today's tech?
Right.
That's a great question.
That is a really good question. That's
a podcast question.
I was just going to say.
I think we've answered that before.
I feel like we have
answered that before. But, I don't know.
Man, it's almost like Ying should be giving us hitting the questions up for us on Twitter instead of being on the cast, because that was incredible. Actually, you're doing both right now, which is even, you're doing the work of the viewer and the hosting the cast. It's incredible.
I haven't put a question in a while, but.
We're going to have to talk about a race for Ying. Four kisses instead of five, instead of three, excuse me, at TwitchCon.
Wait.
That's what you're getting paid
in. Race to me.
Yeah, that was actually the opposite. That was actually Well, I'll make sure. Anyway, I haven't told Ying this, but for every cast he's on, I'm kissing him once on the lips. And so at TwitchCon, it's going to be a good time. His payment, his payment will be there.
There's a lot of back pay.
a lot of back wash, especially with the Frenching. So anyway.
Yeah, Jesus. Okay, so anyways, the next article.
Moving on from Frenching Ying to Blizzard fighting toxic players in Overwatch.
That might be my least favorite transition this past episode.
I couldn't even think of anything to try to make it work. But so in a recent interview, our boy Jeff Kaplan, this was actually in a recent video post to the community. Jeff Kaplan has said that they are spending so much time, to read the quote, "We've been put in this weird position where we're spending a tremendous amount of time and resources punishing people and trying to make people behave better in Overwatch. I wish we could take the time we put into putting reporting on console and have put them towards a match history system or a replay system instead. It was the exact same people who had to work on both who got rerouted to work on the other." So basically, he's saying that the toxicity in Overwatch, they feel that the issue is so bad that trying to improve the player experience and the way that people communicate with each other is slowing development on the game. And that's a pretty, again, it's not something we haven't seen before, though I don't, Yang, we've been talking about a little bit earlier in the pre-show, but the fact that like League of Legends comes to mind as a comparison for something like this, where League has been constantly, they're always overhauling their honor system and all this stuff and trying to deal with toxicity. And, you know, League in general is known for how toxic the game is and player interactions are. But I don't know if they ever came out and said, "Hey, guys, we're not really working on the game because we don't have enough resources to deal with all you toxic motherfuckers," which I think is pretty interesting that he said that. But again, Jeff is a straight shooter, so I'm not shocked. And he straight up says it here: "The bad behavior is making the game progress in terms of development on a much slower rate." And part of this almost makes me feel like he did this because he thought in the back of his mind that if your dad comes to you and is like, "Hey, you know, I would love to be building, you know, finishing up your treehouse, but you've been acting so bad and I've been having to constantly come in and discipline you, you know, whenever you're around mom, that, you know, the treehouse, it's going slow. I don't think it's going to be ready before the winter. You're not going to get a chance to play in it." And anyway, something analogous to that, where he's like, everyone's going to be like, "Oh man, the game isn't developing as fast as we want. Let's turn around and let's not be as toxic." I don't know.
He's gathering the Overwatch community in front of him, sitting them down and saying, "I'm not angry, I'm disappointed."
Disappointed. Kind of, yeah. That's
really
very,
what it feels like to me.
Very true, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's I understand what he's saying, and I think it's a valid issue that he brings up, you know, saying that, like, okay, well, you know, the fact that we're having to spend so much time on this is, it really is putting off our, this, what, it, sorry, what this sounds like to me is it sounds like they had an internal roadmap that's been deviated, and that's frustrating Jeff Kaplan.
Yes.
You know, they wanted to have certain gameplay mechanics. They wanted, development for new mechanics done by a certain time. Like, this was an internal business, you know, we have to have this done by this point. But all these other projects started coming up, and it actually effectively derailed something within the development of Overwatch to a point where it's now prompting this kind of a public response.
Right.
And I think that's probably where they're coming from with that. And if you look at it from that perspective, I think that's valid. I think, unfortunately, however, this is more of an issue of, almost similar to, although not on quite as large of a scale, the situation with Lawbreakers, where this was a lack of foresight.
Yes, absolutely.
You cannot possibly expect a game this popular to not have an extremely toxic community in some aspects.
Exactly.
The fact that stuff like this isn't expected to be implemented is a problem.
Yep.
Like, this is stuff that should have been already worked into a roadmap.
Yeah.
It's good that they are actually going off course and saying, no, this is a priority we need to do. Like, I think they're actually handling it just fine. I think they're doing the correct thing. It's just the statement is kind of weird because it actually, if anything, highlights the fact that they weren't prepared to deal with this kind of a thing. They weren't expecting it. When really it should be something that I think most game developers should be perfectly aware is going to happen if their game picks up. So, I mean, it almost sounds like he's trying to, a pity card isn't the right word, but
yeah,
it sounds like he's trying to divert the focus away from the fact that they weren't ready to deal with this and make it, I don't know, the community's fault. I don't know if that's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
But
totally. Yeah, no, it is. It is kicking
the people. Yeah, the kind of people that grief in this kind of a game too. I mean, they're not going to read this article and feel bad.
No, no, not at all. Like, if that's at all what he's thinking, that's definitely it. And I totally agree. Like, it's a situation where you can't launch something like this and then just expect like, well, you know, it wasn't built into the roadmap, but we can kind of ignore it and we're not going to have to end up dealing with it. If it really bothered, like if the toxicity thing is something that in Blizzard. They take that pretty seriously overall in their games, I would say, compared to maybe other developers and communities. And it is kind of surprising that, it's almost like we just didn't – you get the vibe that, like you said, he's like, we didn't really expect it to be this bad. And that's just not – I don't – again, either that's maybe the public way of deflecting and kicking the can down the line and being like, yeah, it's not not really our fault. But I feel like they're not stupid. Part of me thinks that, not that they didn't think it was going to be this bad, but maybe they thought that, they could ignore the situation and be able to stay on their roadmap. But like you said,
yeah.
I mean, they clearly are changing it. And there's been a lot of stuff in the patches with the reporting system and all this other stuff. But again, I also want to talk about the overall idea of just toxicity in general when it comes to competitive games online. I mean, no matter what you do, you're always going to have people be a problem. It's not that you don't put measures in place to make it, you know, a better experience for people that aren't toxic. But, you know, at the end of the day, it really is a tough situation to do. And I do think, as much as, like, I like to rag on League and stuff like that, I do think that the system that they actually have implemented now is actually pretty good. It's you'll still run into toxic people and stuff like that, but it is, like, if you do stuff and are consistently toxic in that game, like, you will get banned, you will get warned, they will call in, like, your history, your chat logs forever are, you know, always saved. They have people that monitor it if you get reported. It is pretty, like, easy to get banned in that game for kind of being toxic. And again, people can say it's a little bit too easy for stuff that you shouldn't be banned for, but they really take a hands-on approach with that. And but if you look at like the League thing, I think it's taken so many years for it to even be in the state that it is now, where you're like, it's actually pretty decent compared to what it used to be. So
this is an
issue that takes years and years. I mean, it's and you know, League was, you know, one of the biggest games and continues to be one of the biggest games in the world, and it's still a task for them. So
yeah, of course. I mean, Jeff Kaplan is even providing numbers for us in this article.
Right.
And so it's for sure the measures that they're taking are effective, because they're saying, quoting Jeff Kaplan, we have taken disciplinary action against over 480,000 accounts, and 340,000 of those were a direct result of players using the reporting system, which was an implementation as a part of them trying to combat toxicity in the community.
Right.
So what's interesting is that the article brings to light the fact that them implementing these kinds of measures and taking the time to do it is certainly worth the time, and that it's working and they're doing the correct thing. The more we talk about this, the more I almost feel like this article is just a non-issue, because they've identified a problem. They're implementing solutions.
Right.
The solutions are actually having a very positive effect, and evidently they're not done implementing these measures further. So really what's left with this article is Jeff Kaplan saying this is crappy and we don't want to be doing this.
Right. It's kind of like a vent sesh.
Which is why I think this whole thing diverted some sort of original internal development plan that, you know, they had to delay some project because of this, and Jeff Kaplan hates that. Because really, there is no issue that exists within this. They're taking care of a problem that really, I think most of us agree, is something that any dev is going to have to expect to try to combat if their game takes off and has a reasonable competitive scene.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Katie, on this?
Yeah, it just seems like for this to be as big of an issue to like halt development over is a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I think you guys covered it pretty well. I don't have too much more to add.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. We'll see if they are able to get back on track, if Jeff can stop making these updates about how toxic the community is, and that they'll get the stuff implemented to make it a little bit better. and then hopefully add the bomb defusal game type so that the game can basically become Counter-Strike with heroes, and then I'll take a look at it and see what happens. And
be down for that. No?
Very excited for that update once they get done with all the banning all the toxic players. all right, Katie, we're going to move on to the new releases. Take me away. Got a lot of stuff in here this week.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff this week. So first up, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, the long-awaited new entry in that series, which has been getting some pretty mixed reception up until release. It's mainly just being compared against like Dragon Ball FighterZ and a bunch of memes like that. But from what I'm looking at it, it's kind of it's two players on a side instead of three. But and it looks a bit like it looks too much like Marvel 3. Like I mean, I don't want to give a review right now, but looks like supers are just copy pasted out of there. It looks like not too many new characters, not too much new content. But it could surprise. A lot of the pro fighting game players have gotten early access to this and have been streaming it. And I haven't heard too many negative things, but how are you going to get a free game on Steam and then shit on it, right? Mm. So we'll hopefully after September 21st, we'll see some reviews roll out. But yeah, that's going to be $59.99 standard fare. Hopefully it's good. Always down for some Marvel, baby. Next up, NBA 2K18 finally comes out. Mm. If you pre-ordered it, I think you got like access to like the early whatever edition they do. To play like September 15th. Going on Steam page, it's got mostly negative reviews, just people.
Oh man,
people are not happy. I'm actually just like, how does it have so many negative reviews already?
Yeah, it's like, wow. Apparently, I'm seeing from there like so many cutscenes. Like, I played this game for 3 hours to figure out the terrible controls, the controllers needed, cash grab. I can't refund it because of the 2 hours of cutscenes you have to forcefully go through.
Yep.
Which, damn. So yeah, just pretty much negative reviews everywhere, but I mean, people will still eat this shit up. Doesn't matter. So yeah, 2K18 comes out. Also Guild Wars 2. I don't think any of us have played that, but the new expansion for that, Path of Fire, comes out September 22nd. And, Project Cars 2, sequel to the, I think it was a racing game that really focused on, just pure simulation. That comes out on Steam on September 21st for full retail price. Looks like a banger of a game, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I never played Cars. Is it for the sim? Is it like Super Simmy? Is that the thing?
I think I got the first one as one of like the free games on PS4, and I played it for like I think like an hour, and it just seemed like really really hardcore for like Sims, like really simulation kind of game. Mm. Which I personally prefer like a game that changes it up in the name of being like more fun, because like I didn't really get into it, but I can see where people would go nuts over this. It does seem like Project Cars 2 came out pretty soon. Like the first one, I think it was like 2014 or 15 that the first one came out, so maybe not too far or too early. But yeah, next up is SteamWorld Dig 2. I was expecting SteamWorld Dig to get a sequel after they made a SteamWorld Heist. I thought they're gonna keep switching it up. But yeah, I never played the first one, but I heard really good things about it, and it's getting some pretty good reviews from just kind of early statements from IGN, Polygon on there. And this comes out on September 22nd, looking very well polished, but looking pretty. Looks like it has an identity of its own compared to the first game. It's got like a relatively different art style. It's got like a main character, and looks like it's got kind of a story going on. So yeah, I have no doubts that game will be good. Dig and Heist were both really fun from what I've heard. I haven't played them myself, but they both looked pretty fun. But next up, let's see, we got a lot this week. The Lego Ninjago movie video game.
What?
Apparently they're making a video game based on the movie, based on the toy. Comes out September 22nd.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I think, what was it? Ninjago was like some ninja Lego toy brand, I think, and then they made...
That was in the movie?
No, it was...
Or existed.
They made a movie based off of it.
Okay.
I understand. I was very lost on the progression. It was a toy.
Okay.
The toy that was made into a movie. Gotcha. And now the movie is made into a game.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the game of the movie of the toy. So, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I have no critical analysis to give for this game. I've played none of the Lego games, but if you're into that, I'm sure it'll just be more of the same. September 22nd. I wish I could give a more deep and analytical insight into this game.
I'm built for it. Ying loves the Lego games. Are you going to be picking this one up for full price, Ying?
No, certainly not. I only played the Lego Star Wars
trilogy. Oh yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Which was fantastic, but that was like people had a lot of nostalgia attached to those games.
Right. True.
And I only ever played those on stream, so I have actually had very minimal experience with Lego games.
Gotcha.
But my first instinct is that, you know, we have a toy that's been made into a movie and the movie's been made into a game. And then sure enough, between the game and the movie, there's been new characters that have been introduced, probably, right? So those characters are now going to be made into a toy. And what if they get their own movie, which is then made into a game?
The cycle of the side characters.
I think this is maybe the Lego franchise's new business model.
Yep.
Oh, man. Dude, when's the next Lego Bionicle game, dude? Come on.
Oh, dude, I miss Bionicles. I remember those. Oh, God.
I fucking love Bionicles, man. What happened? Well, when it comes to the Lego games, I'm just not built for it.
That was incredible. Somebody please clip that. Gosh. All right, audio listeners, you missed. This is why you need to watch live, because Katie Zen just zoomed in with his camera as he did that horrible punny joke, and it was amazing.
That is something that actually like belongs in like a Lego movie as well. Like that's the caliber of humor I feel like
that was.
Oh yeah.
Dang.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was good. That's
good.
This next game also looks really good. It's called Fight in Rage, which is numerous plays on words. You've got Fighting Rage, Fight and Rage. Mm. Very clever lyrical genius.
I was waiting for like your third, fourth, and a fifth when you said very many and you named two.
I can only think of two, and then let's move right along. No, but it looks like a pretty fun, you know, local co-op, very obviously inspired by some 90s arcade beat-em-ups.
Yeah.
And sadly does not have online co-op, which makes me very sad. Sorry, APL, we don't have a game yet.
I know. Damn, man. One of these weeks, you're going to find one.
One of these days. Yeah, it looks pretty fun, though. No price yet. Looks very well-polished. Good game for you and your good buds. I don't know what I'm talking about. September 19th is when Fight in Rage comes out. Oh, Fight in Rage. That's another one. That's
Fight
three. Fight in Rage. There we go.
Hmm.
Okay, two more. I don't know if any of you young people from my generation grew up in at the computer lab in middle school, hopping on cool math games and playing some fancy pants adventure.
Mm.
But I did, and that game was my shit. A game, I think this is the version of the game that came out in 360 and like PSN a while ago, but it is now on Steam. It is called Super Fancy Pants Adventure.
So you're definitely picking this up for the nostalgia factor.
You know, maybe not. I'm just happy to see it on Steam. This looks like one of those games that I'd pick up on, you know, ridiculously low sale price. You know, but that unlocks September 20th. I still have yet to beat that game. It is I forget. There's one boss in the goddamn sky level. I would just get caught on every single time, and then the bell would ring. As soon as I got to that boss, and I couldn't finish it, I have to start over every time. Anyways, Super Fancy Pants Adventure. Last up, this is a game for the ages.
This is incredible. Well, this is an incredible find. And I was just about to say, I have to get this and play this on stream, but I don't know if my channel will survive.
I hope it's stream safe.
It says nudity, and it...
Yeah.
I don't know.
So... For all of our listeners, viewers, Twitch veterans, if you're scrolling through new releases on Steam and you see a title called Deep Dark Fantasies, your first thought is, you know, Gachagasm, of course. Mm. And I see that and I think, there's no way it could be about Gachagasm. Little did I know, Deep Dark Fantasies is a visual novel featuring screens from the pornography the Gachagasm is based on. There are men wrestling each other. There are men in gimp suits being restrained. There's a plot that looks like it's an adaptation of the films.
Yep.
About the boss of this gym. And this just looks absolutely wonderful. Hopefully it's longer than 10 or 20 minutes.
Yes.
It says it features a hard moral choice.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's good.
Wow, that's good.
All right.
Oh,
but
boy.
Yeah, no word on a price, but can you really put a price on something as lovely as this? September 19th. This game comes
out. Looks like a once in a lifetime opportunity kind of a game for somebody.
Yeah,
to...
definitely.
Wow.
So play it while you can. Play it before it gets taken off of Steam.
Yeah, before it just disappears.
Taking screenshots from a film and, you know, just putting it into a game that's actually not legal at all.
Man.
But yeah, and wow, that was a beefy new release. Actually.
That was very beefy. Thick. THICC, brother.
Yeah, my space goodness. All those, all caps.
Yes.
Extra thick.
Extra. Good stuff. Thank you for doing the new releases, Katie, as always. We're going to move on.
I do best. It's the only thing I do well.
Well, so, that's not true. You look, you're pretty, too. So, viewer questions.
Wait, you said I'm pretty?
Stop.
Zoom.
He's
God
gonna
damn
get
it.
Off again.
God damn it. Okay. So many GIF opportunities, chat, please. I need these.
Oh, that's good. All right.
All right. The first one comes from RacerX780 on Twitter, and he asks us, when given two food items, like two slices of pizza, he's just giving an example, like one plain and one pepperoni, which is your favorite? Which do you eat first? As he's saying, or any two food items. So I guess... he just gave an example of like a plain slice and a pepperoni slice. I was thinking like, okay, let's say you get a burger and fries or stuff that like is paired together. That is just kind of like a 1-2 punch of a cuisine. Any thoughts and any, I'm going to give you guys like the burger and fry question, like in a burger and fry situation, what do you start with?
Sorry. I think I just want to clarify the question. I think he's asking if you have two food items.
Yes.
And you have one that is that you prefer, that you think is that tastes better.
Mm.
Do you eat the one that you like first or last?
Okay. You might be,
That's what he's asking.
I gotcha. Okay. No, I think you're right. I think you clarified it. Okay. Yes. No, I think I was, that makes sense. Okay. So yeah, do you eat your preferred or do you, eat your less preferred first? I kind of
go back and forth when that happens.
Mm.
But like depending on what food it is.
Mm.
I don't know.
So you don't have a hard.
I feel like more often. Yeah. Go ahead.
So you don't have a hard or fast rule. Like it can change.
Yeah, I feel like more often than not, I'll have my least favorite first, and then save like my favorite for last.
Yeah,
but
I'm with you on that one. And same. But mine doesn't change. I'll always start with what I like less.
Mm.
Because regardless of how much I like. You know, how much less I like that first item, it'll be even worse if I start with my favorite.
Mm.
Right? Like, I want to have it ramp up. I'll enjoy that first thing, but I know the next thing's going to be better. Why would you want to do it the other way around? Like, why would you want to start with the really good thing, and then everything after that is just going to be a little bit less?
Now,
exactly.
Now, yeah. I'm going to throw a ratchet into that logic, though. What if what you're eating is very filling, right? And so let's say you have two things, right? And you realize that potentially if you eat the least or like the thing that isn't quite as good, you might get to a point where you're like, man, I'm not really as hungry to be able to finish, like even if with a piece of pizza or something, like the second slice, let's say it's some disgusting deep dish piece of garbage or something, you know, like in like the topping on it is you're like, oh, that's the one I really prefer, but I'll eat the first one, like what the other topping I don't like as much. But then, you know, you get a little full. I guess that's really the only kind of caveat for me. That it could be a situation where it's like, okay.
Where you don't think you could eat everything that is
right,
in front of you.
Where it's like, okay, so I really want to enjoy, the better thing first.
Yeah, if there's a limit on what you're going to be able to eat, then yes, I guess you do have to prioritize what you will enjoy more.
Sure. But yeah, no, in general, I'm totally with you. I think you never want to end on disappointment. You always want to end with the best thing. Yeah. Okay, so we're all pretty much in agreement on that. Katie, is there any situation you can think of where you said that you switch back and forth, so you do sometimes start with the better thing? Interesting. Like,
I feel like probably if I get like, you know, let's say steak and anything but steak, I'm gonna have the steak as soon as possible, so that over time it doesn't get worse. You know,
like that's okay, right? Because it's like fresh off. That's good too. That's good example.
Yeah. About that. So like, yeah, there's some food that just over the course of how long it takes for you to eat, it's going to get worse.
That's
yeah, any time-based food.
Mm. Yeah. Man, that's another...
I said time-based food. And I
you just said time-based food.
Position gaming. That's just...
Yep. No, it's good. I mean, it goes to show you that this question is a lot deeper initially than we thought it was, because there are other factors.
I mean, to be fair, the original question was comparing two comparable food types. They were both slices of pizza in the example.
True.
But yes, we did find that there is some variation here that can change your answer. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Good question, though. An interesting one. I don't think we've had a question asked. I mean, we've had a lot of food questions, but not one asked like in that specifically about, you know, what do we eat what we prefer first or what we prefer least? So, good question, Racer X780. Stay out there racing, man. Be safe. Make sure you wear your seatbelt. Whackman 3209 asks us, how do you determine if you like the cut of someone's jib? And obviously, this is kind of an open-ended question, but
I'm interpreting that as, you know, when someone is making a first impression, what do you notice the most?
Same.
Let me just look up the know your meme for the cut of your jib real quick.
For me, it's also like how do you determine like you said, Yang, for a first time meeting or whatever, that you're like, okay, I think I like this person. What factors go into that? It's hard for me to say. I feel like
it's a really complex question.
It really depends on like your own personality and I guess people. But I do feel like generally for people that I've ever known over my life that have become really good friends or people that I hang out with a lot, it's not something that there's very few people that I've had an initial meeting with and then it either went poorly or well. Like if it went poorly, and maybe that's just maybe for me just writing people off without really getting to know them. But I feel like I can get a read on people pretty quickly, and if I'm going to want to pursue like a friendship or like knowing them any deeper, and a lot of that just comes down to, it's not just conversation. I don't know. It's a lot of intangibles, I guess, too, right? I don't know.
In a lot of factors.
It's a lot of factors. I knew as soon as I met KD in person that I was like, it was, you know, it's been hard to kind of fake that I continue to like him on this podcast. So I'm just going to come out and say, I'm just kidding, KD. I know that like your greatest fear is that like one of us is holding in and like, man, I really hate that KD guy. No, but like, that's a hard question.
Oh my God. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
There it is.
Hey,
all right. Well, listen, that's why we have the live version that if you were live right now, you could see what Sark typed in chat. And if you're listening to the audio version, no dice. So just more.
Be in the same chat room as Mr.
You could
Sark
be in the same chat room as Mr. Shark and see the very Sark thing that he said. So good stuff.
It's great to see you, Shark. It's great to see you.
I love every time Stark stops by KB Mod, it makes my heart happy.
I mean, Left Shark is my favorite meme.
Yes. I don't know. What about, what do you, any thoughts on that? Again, I've just been kind of dancing because it's hard for, I guess I have to think about it a little bit.
You know, I always, because I think the most important thing to try to get about somebody is to like determine how, what am I trying to say? Like how open they are. Like if they're like an introvert, they're introverted or extroverted. So like, for example, there was somebody new at work recently. Sure. And so I approached them, you know, being in a manager position, you know, that kind of influences a little bit of that. I was just, you know, I throw out the old, you know, I have to, I'm going to do it again. I just throw out the old, hey. And then at that point, the ball's really in their court. They could either throw the old, you know,
right,
hey, what's up? Or they could go for the really firm handshake or something like that. But the most recent case that happened, I approached them and they were straightening up the floor, the game section. Mm. And I was passing by and I was, stop me if I already told the story, but I was like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, great, you know, just working, things looking, it's looking pretty good out here. And it looks slightly better than normal. So I'm like, okay, yeah, it looks great. Good job. I'm David, by the way. She's like, yeah, it looks great. Yeah, I'm new. And we're just talking. Yeah, great. She's like, yeah, I'm going to be everybody's boss one day here. Yeah.
Oh, you did. Oh, you did tell. She was the everybody's boss girl. I did not. Oh, wow. That.
Oh, did I already tell that before?
You did, but I didn't. You didn't tell me the first part of how it started out normally. And then she dropped that.
So at that point, I didn't even say anything. And then, it was.
How to ruin? I'm still trying to. So. Did you get a read on? Was she trying to be funny? What was your read?
No, she was serious. I learned that when she was being interviewed, she was telling store manager that she was gunning for his job.
Wow!
What?
That is ambitious.
That is like
a bold approach.
Yeah, I mean,
unless she's direct,
I understand where you're coming from. You know, but then it's like, who are you? You know,
it's dang. Dang.
Yeah. So that's that being said, I did not like the cut of her jib.
Gotcha. Yeah, that did okay. Right.
I think that's a pretty general answer because all you're saying is that really, you judge someone or you determine if you like the cut of their jib by how respectful they are to someone they don't know, which is you.
True. True.
Right. So
true.
Coming in and just being like, yeah, one day I'm going to be your boss. And you're like, cool. We've known each other for like 5 minutes.
This is not a conversation.
Pretty much. Exactly. Yeah. Thing to say to someone.
Yeah. Right.
I think that might be it. Yeah.
They've been there for a couple weeks now, and since then, they're fine. They're a good person, but just, as far as first impressions go, it's just oh, why would you say that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, though, just this is going back to the whole – I mean, first, it's crazy how much first impressions affect your view of somebody. And I guess it was a misnomer for me to say that there haven't been people that I'm friends with that I had horrible first impressions on. There actually are a decent amount of people that I have had pretty – or just kind of like awkward first impressions was like, oh, I probably won't. But then you get to know them. And again, there's a lot of factors that can affect a first impression anyway. But I think in general, you kind of boiled it down to brass tacks right there, Yang, for a second when you were like how respectful they are towards you. And I guess respect, not just in the sense of somebody in a position of authority or whatever else, but there is a certain level of when you're having an exchange with someone that you don't know, somebody that's going to kind of push away a lot of those social norms or stuff like that, or make it extremely awkward or whatever else. I guess, that's a risk that some people decide to take, and then they can be like, haha, I was just totally kidding. And then they break the ice or whatever. But, sometimes that'll work on people. Sometimes it won't. I think depends on the time of day. If somebody does that with me and it's just super awkward, sometimes I'm probably just like, all right, dude, I don't know if you're doing a bit or not, but I'm not in the mood right now.
I'm wondering if we've taken this question to heart a little bit too much.
Maybe.
Because I'm wondering if we could just boil this question down to, is there a question that you can ask someone who you're meeting that from them answering that one question, does that help you determine whether or not you like the cut of their jib? So is there one question that you can pitch to someone and figure out based on that answer, well, I like you or I don't like you?
Yes, there is.
Okay, what do you got?
Yeah.
What do you think about the KB Mod podcast?
Oh, there you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Wow. So 99.99999% of the world's population, you're not gonna like. That's
well,
fair.
Here's one.
Just hate everybody.
It's not so overarching as I'll be like, oh, I don't like this person, but it is a question that actually kind of resonates with me. Because the moment if I ever bring up that I play video games, people will either say oh, I don't really play video games, which is fine. That conversation takes a different direction.
Sure.
Or they'll say, oh, I play video games too. So the inherent question comes up. What do you play on? Right? Are you on PC? Do you play? And I think the worst answer I've ever heard was that there was someone who said they liked playing, I think it was Team Fortress 2 on their Mac or something like that.
Oh boy.
And I was like, "Oh, that's rough."
Oh boy. But
that's the only thing they played too. To be fair, they didn't consider themselves an enthusiast or anything like that. They were just like, "Oh yeah, I play this game called Team Fortress sometimes." It's like, okay, that's fair. What do you play on? I just play it on my Mac. Oh,
man. For me, it's actually simple. It may not be one that a lot of people would expect me to have. But my question would be, I'm going to give you a phone number and I want you to tell me what it's from. Okay, and it's 678-999-8212. If I said that phone number to you guys, do you have any idea what that phone number is? 678-999-8212.
You know what? I got nothing.
Boys, we're gonna Because if they don't know that phone number, that means that they are not true fans of Soulja Boy with his hit Kiss Me Through the Phone. And the chorus, well, there's so many. I mean, the that was his fan line. And for some goddamn reason, I know all the lyrics to Soulja Boy's Kiss Me Through the Phone. I had it on a mic. I had it on a CD in my car in like high school or college. And it would just, I would just play it in my car and I would turn it up and I would sing the entire thing at the top of my lungs.
Oh my God.
I should do that. I was just thinking for karaoke, if I ever do karaoke again, I should do it because, man, baby, you know that I miss you. I want to get with you tonight, baby girl, but I cannot. And that's the issue. Girl, you know I miss you. I just want to kiss you, but I can't right now. So, baby, kiss me through the phone. Kiss me through the phone. I'll see you later on, later on, later on. Kiss me through the phone. Kiss me through the phone. See you when I get home, when I get home. When I... anyway, so, anyway, I love that song. It's great. And, you know, if you don't know that, you're not a true Soulja Boy fan. And you know what? It's not that we're not going to be friends. It's just I'm just going to be disappointed. That's all. But
yeah, you're doing a Jeff Kaplan on us, right? You're not angry.
I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed, man. I want people
to
look.
This podcast could be going in a lot of great directions, but unfortunately, you have to take the time to explain to us how great Soulja Boy is.
Exactly. Right. And the thing is that he's fallen off, man. Nobody's like he hasn't. I don't know. He's been trying to come back, but nobody gives him credit anymore, man. Soulja Boy was. It's just sad. I don't know. He's just he doesn't have the same kind of he doesn't have the same brand recognition that he used to anymore. So, oh well. But
I mean, really, can you look at me right now and tell me another human being is capable of Supermaning that hoe?
Well, that's right too. I mean, again, another hit. Yeah, absolutely. He had so many bangers back in the day.
Oh yeah. He was the king.
God.
He was the soldier.
How old? I'm literally going to Google Soulja Boy's age. I feel like he's...
You need to.
See, it's late 20s, early 30s at this point. Soulja Boy, tell him, was 2008. Man, The Bird Walk, Turn My Swag On, Kiss Me Through the Phone.
Oh, man.
Soulja Boy, tell him.
Platinum record after platinum record. Number one on the charts. Week after week.
There's so many. Anyway, okay. Let's move on from that question. But again, good, and I like the way you boil that down, Yang. Yeah, do we have one question that would have been a little more concise? But thank you, Whackman, for that. Benjamin Yuman asked us all time favorite game genre, and then favorite game of that genre. I'm sure we've had this before, but it's been a little while. So, and I don't know if you guys have answered this. So, thoughts?
I never thought about a specific genre before. I think just. Action game, I guess. I mean, to be so broad, I like a game where you can just play, you know, like there's not a lot of fat to trim. So, yeah, okay. I mean, I guess the action game.
Maybe action, just in general?
Horror game.
Okay.
I like games that can tell a good story.
There's no way horror is your favorite game, John. I will call your bull.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Horror? I feel like you really do not like horror.
I can't
play games.
Most horror games.
No.
You're right.
Don't just no. So don't give me don't action. That no. That's like a. Yeah. That's way too broad. Give me something really specific, like isometric indie puzzler.
Oh, no.
Like get really specific on it.
I like third person roguelike voxel based retro pixel. No. Probably just action RPG.
Okay. Yeah, or at least adding the RPG to it. It's fair.
Yeah, or third person action RPG, like character action game.
Okay.
Just cool. Really cool games. I like cool games.
Cool games. I expect a cool one. Okay.
I just want games that make me go, ooh, it's like anime.
What the fuck? I want games that make me go, ooh.
That's got to be like a new grading system for you. How,
that's amazing.
I just live stream a game to completion, and then if I can go ooh at all, it's a record.
It's like how many O's in the ooh do you get out of it, right?
Yeah.
How long is the ooh?
5 O's. I give it 5.
5 ooh. Yeah. Dude, that's it. That's the rating right there.
That's got to be a rating system.
That's the system.
Let's do it.
All
right, yeah, Tales of Berseria. That gets 5. Ooh!
Sorry, do you also have to name your favorite game of that genre?
Yes, and then name your favorite game of the action RPG genre.
Bloodborne.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
Come on.
It's easy.
Bloodborne, easily.
All right.
Bloodborne,
Yang?
Is best game of all time.
Mm.
Okay.
What about you, Yang? What have you got next?
I think I'm going to say somewhat of a similar note. I'm going to say, like, story-driven adventure RPG.
Okay.
Things that have, like, a story in it that you can actually, like, relate to, and it, not necessarily relate to, but get invested into. Anything that's story-driven, I usually get into that pretty quickly. And my favorite game of that genre has to be The Witcher 3.
Nice. Good choice.
Cool. It's a beautiful game. The story in it is wonderful. And not only that, there are so many different ways that those stories can play out, and the way that it has situations presented to you as the player. I mean, if at this point you haven't played Witcher 3, you really should do yourself a favor and play Witcher 3. Don't worry about the first and second one. You do not need to have played them in order to enjoy the third one.
Really?
You really do not. And I'm sure there would be some purists out there who say, like, you do. And I'm positive it would augment your experience in a positive fashion if you did play the first and second one. But the third one is enough of a self-contained story that you can play it without issue. I mean, I did not play the first or second one. I did some light reading to understand what the concept of like that whole universe was. But I mean, just do yourself a favor and play The Witcher 3. Katie, you're making a face right now.
Katie, you're right. What are you looking at? What's happening?
I'm sorry. I was on Twitter and I saw the picture of Zalmogoris looking in the mirror. I'm sorry. Yeah, I picked up The Witcher 3 on, like, the Game of the Year edition on sale, and I haven't got around to it yet. So.
I mean, just everything that game has done, not only is, like, the way the game has been made wonderful, the two expansions that you get with it are basically two additional games. Like, they could stand alone as their own games. Okay. So you're not only going to get a wonderful base game experience, like, the first, like, the two expansions that come after that are wonderful.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely try that soon.
All right. And then
what about you, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, mine's so obvious. Like, I love competitive multiplayer shooters. Like, so obviously that is online. Counter-Strike is my favorite game of all time. If I had to pick my favorite Counter-Strike, okay. Oh, man, it's tough.
Ooh, here we go.
It's really tough. It's
like
really
as much
tough.
Time as you need.
Yeah, if I had to choose between the four versions, yes, I'm including Condition Zero. No.
Oh, God.
The three versions. The game I genuinely had the most fun playing when I was younger was Source, for sure. However, what game do I think is the best out of 1.6 and Source? Definitely Go. Go is the best Counter-Strike that we've ever seen. Where's my heart? Where's my heart? And again, it's hard to go back now and look at Source after playing so much Go and be like, wow, this game is in a total piece of shit. Because it's just so, but again, you have to, for the time that you played it and, you know, the rose-colored glasses and all that stuff. I'm not going off what I think is the best iteration of Counter-Strike. I think Source is the worst iteration of Counter-Strike. I would even put it behind Condition Zero, which is insane, but I loved the game, like, and for the time that I played it. So definitely Counter-Strike, and I would say Source, when my young nubile heart played it, I would say was my favorite competitive shooter. Not the best, but my
your
my
favorite. Favorite. Yeah,
my
and favorite. That's the question, right?
Yeah.
So
exactly. MOBAs are our future. You're quoting me from Inbox right there, huh? I did say that. And to
someone asked you if you could only play Counter-Strike or League of Legends for the rest of your life. You said League of Legends because MOBAs are our future.
Man. You know, I was definitely tainted by my love of I was I wouldn't say love of League, but Black Tar heroin addiction to League was where I was at. So I don't want to take responsibility for some of the stuff I said during my League binge of like 2 or 3 years.
I would definitely
take that. To be fair, at the time, was CS:GO a steaming pile of shit? I think it was really bad during that time, and I wasn't even playing it because I played so much of the beta, and I was like, this game is awful. So that also kind of
that's true. I didn't think about the fact that CS:GO has come a long way since
it has. Absolutely, it really has. But there you go. Okay, and we got one more question coming in from Teddy on Twitter. Well, Queen Cypriana, but I think Teddy in chat. Fall is approaching. What's your favorite holiday? And he's giving us. I don't know if these are separate questions. I think he then follows up with Halloween or Thanksgiving. And so he's giving us a pick between those two, though they are separate sentences. So we'll just say for the sake of keeping it simple, between Halloween or Thanksgiving, what do you prefer or enjoy more?
I'm gonna say Halloween.
Okay.
And I don't know why. There's something about the time around Halloween that I enjoy the atmosphere. Like, people are getting into it. Everyone's talking about their costumes. I like fall weather, and I don't know why I associate that more with Halloween than I do with Thanksgiving. But I'm gonna say Halloween, but I'm not totally sure why.
Gotcha. Okay. Does it have to do with something of young? You can put on a mask and be somebody you're not, and so, you know, a little bit of
maybe it's the one day where I can be myself.
Oh, you just blew my mind right there with that one. Very true. Very true.
You know, it's tricky for me. I think I'm going to choose Halloween because just like the festivities around that time, there are activities happening. There are haunted houses. There are people like Halloween parties, costume parties going on, like trick or treating, of course. And then Thanksgiving, you know, it's good to like hang out with family. But I mean, Halloween, there's just more going on. So I feel like Halloween.
Okay. And I got to go with, Thanksgiving because growing up, I was not allowed to celebrate Halloween. Never did. Once I moved to California, Sark loves Halloween and does it big. And so we would go to Halloween Horror Nights. We would go to all these, we do a lot of Halloween themed stuff. We did a Halloween themed, house kind of thing where you walk through it and have to like figure out how to get out of the different rooms we did that. Nick Sark and I did that.
You know what, and I think this question actually boils down to is really nuts. It's the two holidays are very different, right? Halloween is you interacting with your friends. Thanksgiving generally is you interacting with your family.
True. Which makes a lot of sense, so people don't want to interacting with your family is a pretty loaded thing for a lot of people too. So
I think that might be the difference.
Yeah. So I have grown to really enjoy Halloween and doing Halloween related stuff. It is fun. But when this is my just general just fatness speaking, I am not somebody. And again, you go Halloween candy. I'm not a big sweet guy. I'm a big more savory guy. And Halloween, I mean, it doesn't get more savory than Halloween, like meal wise, right? You get the turkey and all the and the stuffing and all the other accoutrement with that. So I got to go Thanksgiving just for the meal. And also generally, it is really good family time too. And I have fond memories and. Every Thanksgiving is usually a pretty good time with my mom's side of the family. So for those reasons, I'm going to go with Thanksgiving, though I can appreciate Halloween and do enjoy it. But, I've told the story before, but we were the kids on Halloween who were giving the candy away to all the kids that were having fun. And, you know, we were told that, we just don't celebrate that because we don't believe in it. And I'm not going to say I was a little jaded by that, but definitely a little jaded. So. All right, so there we go. That's a lot of good questions this week, though. Thank you all for them. And this is going to bring us to our iTunes podcast review of the week. And don't you know it, we have one. Somebody answered the call. And this is, of course, a 5-star review, which is the requirement for being able to get your podcast review read anyway. So you can go to iTunes, look up KBMod Podcast, leave a 5-star review, and then leave us a message about how much you enjoy the cast. I have to say, we have 363 ratings and we have a solid 5 stars. A lot of reviews on here. So we appreciate you guys doing that. And then, of course, you might be able to get your review read on the cast live. So this review comes from Do the Dougie. And the title is, I was able to send this from the past. So strap in and get ready for this one. Hey, fellas. Today's date in my time is January 27th, 2015. I'm sure you're all wondering how I was able to get this review out in the future. Good, because I was wondering the same thing. Just got done listening to your podcast. I personally don't think any game is going to topple H1Z1. They have the Battle Royale mode down on lock. An early access game that works really, really well. And it's an early access game that works really, really well. The player base still has to be going strong, right? Hopefully, it gets out of early access in 2017. APL, I'm sure Counter-Strike must be looking great in your year. There's got to be a new one by now, right? Anyway, but my question is, what games would you recommend someone who has time traveled from the past? Let's say the time they traveled from was January 1st, 2000. And, okay, so that's the date he's...
Ooh.
Okay, so for January 1st of 2000. And then he said, and would you ever let some meme enthusiast join the podcast? Yeah, I doubt it. Yeah, we're currently not taking applications due the Dougie, but appreciate the message. So, wow. So, wow, there's going to be somewhat of a rude awakening for, man, the H1Z1 question. Hmm? A little awkward at this point.
Let me see. I'm going to look up 2000 in video gaming to see what came out that year and see, like, where the standard was for game. You got Pokemon Stadium coming out that year.
Ooh.
You got Perfect Dark coming out. Oh. Space Channel 5. The first Deus Ex came out that year.
Oh, my God. 2000. Yeah. Okay. Strong.
No, I'm going to say, just to frame this question properly, right? They're saying, what game would you recommend to someone who has time traveled from January 1st, 2000 to our present date?
Yes, yes. I think so. So, okay. Yeah.
I think I have my answer, but I want to I want to wait for everyone else.
Okay.
You know, it's hard not to default to Bloodborne, but okay. There's got to be something more. Let me see.
Okay. Okay.
What game just truly pushes it? I'd probably say Mag on PS3 with 256 players online in one map.
Wow.
Got it. That's... Or maybe, you know, coming from 2001, I'd love to see someone's face playing like Battlefield 1 on a 1080 Ti at max settings in 4K.
Like just the shock value.
Oh my
that
God.
Visual
with
upgrade.
Like, you know. Oh man, that I would love to see.
That's
that.
A good answer because seeing like just how insane that, like mind blowing that would be. Because I remember, I mean, think about when you were younger and you're like in a GameStop or a Funko Land or whatever, and you're watching that. Like I remember one of my first experiences was seeing when the Dreamcast launched and watching Crazy Taxi, and really even realizing if the footage I was watching was real or not. Like that's how, but like that's how I was on a Sega Genesis. I was like, that is insane. That game is insane
awesome.
Looking. And so now you look at Crazy Taxi and you're like, wow, that's kind of, I mean, it was still good looking for the time, but you're like, I mean, nothing compared to nowadays. So,
oh man, that reminds me of like, I remember when I was, you know, when I was a lot younger, I had a choice between the Wii and the 360 and I picked the Wii growing
up.
Oh
my God,
so,
no.
Oh yeah. And going from Wii to PS3, pretty late in the PS3 cycle.
Yeah.
And just like what games looked like at that time. I was like, I remember thinking to myself, like, I don't know if I can play games that look this good. Because I'll just constantly be distracted by them. Like, I got to get used to games looking this good. Like, more than 480p. This is so much. And now it's just like, if it's not on max settings, I can't even play it. Just the jump I've gone through. Oh, man. It's pretty funny. But, yeah, probably Battlefield 1 or maybe PUBG.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think that's a good answer. Trying to think, what game recently has been like truly like revolutionary? Probably Ball 3D.
I was just
that's a good.
Is
one.
That was yeah. that going to be Yang's or Yang?
No,
was
no,
your
no,
answer?
It's not. I,
yeah.
st-
I
was, oh, oh
I'm okay. So I think you guys are on the right track, right? You're trying to find the most visually and conceptually astounding game that we currently have that would just blow the mind of someone who just came here from the year 2000.
Right.
So my answer, even though it's not graphically the prettiest game, I think it's still the most incredible experience. Is I would want to take that person and I want to set them up and I want them to play super hot VR.
Ooh, that's a really good answer.
That would blow their mind. Because even us right now, super hot works so well in VR, it blows our minds.
That's such
a
good answer.
It might melt that person down from the year 2000.
Oh,
they might. Yeah, they might actually like their brain might actually explode and that might be the last thing they ever do. That's actually a really good answer.
That's what I want them to play.
Yeah.
Oh, that is the perfect answer.
That is the best answer, actually. Like, yeah, I can't think of a better one. Yang, look at you.
It's like
great job.
Oh my God, playing that game at LAN, I still like. Occasionally, I'll see deals for Oculus Rift Plus controllers, and I'm like, what do I have the cash? Like, oh man, that thoroughly blew my mind playing that game. That was like, someone who was gaming the year that Donald Duck Goin' Quackers came out on PS1. To jump to super hot in VR.
Right. Exactly.
Holy shit.
Oh, man. Has anybody done any, like, has anybody gone to some of those, you know what? I don't see enough videos of, not that I'm asking for, like, the YouTube prank invasion to go invade, like, go, like, into remote, like, jungle areas where, you know, people don't have any technology. But, like, has anybody set up, like, a really nice gaming PC, with a bunch of, like, crazy games on it and sat down, like, you know, some remote tribe in, the jungles of South America? And just, like, seen their reaction to it. I mean, again, you obviously don't probably, I don't know. There's probably a lot of things you probably shouldn't do. That's something you shouldn't do, but that would be fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to look up remote jungle tribe experiment. And if they don't exist, I'm going to start making those videos. Remote jungle South American tribe plays Battlefield 1 on highest settings.
Remote like, tribe plays Resident Evil 5 and max settings.
Like, tell me that that's not, that's, that is the next wave on YouTube, dude. Like, if somebody's not doing that, they need to be. Because I would watch shit out of that. Like, and you know, then you know it'd instantly be people faking it. But, like, if you had actually got somebody that's never touched a computer, I mean, I don't even, they probably wouldn't even have, they would think it was some spiritual, like, spiritual otherworldly thing happening. I'm sure they would, I don't even. You would have to explain, they even explain the concept of gaming to somebody that has no concept of technology anyway would be pretty much impossible. You'd have to start at the beginning.
I never realized, like, imagine them sitting down and playing something like Resident Evil 5, you know, just massacring.
Death Candy said remote jungle tribe gaming PC, $10,000 prank, gone feral.
Gone feral. Oh,
Lucky Snake. They tried that, but instead of video games, it was blankets filled with diseases. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. All right.
All right. Moving on.
All right. Well, there you go. But yeah, good, good questions and really good review this week, Dougie. I hope we answered your question. I mean, yeah, again, super hot, Doug. If we can hook you up with that, I think it will blow your mind. I think Ying's answer was the best. So, all right, guys, I think that's going to do it for episode 293 of the KBMod podcast. Done it. I mean, before 1:30 a.m. I don't even know. I didn't know it was possible, man. We started a little bit early tonight, and early, or we started less late again, is what Ying said, which was very impressive for us. So I'm proud of all of us. If you guys enjoyed the cast, make sure you check out KBMod Gaming on Twitter at KBMod Gaming. Of course, check out KBMod.com for different reviews, previews, article content, forums. Use the multi stream, all that stuff. Of course, follow these lovely gentlemen as well. Katie Zen is at Katie Zen 18.
Hold on.
Oh.
That's not my handle.
Wait, you changed your handle.
I did.
Tell me, what is it?
We have a new KD patch.
Yeah.
KD patch. Yeah, so right now, Twitter and Twitch are both KDZen _. Tried to get KDZen. KDZen on, like, KDZen on Twitch will be available at a certain point in time, at which then it will become that.
Okay.
But unfortunately, there is a KDZen account on Twitter that I can't take that has been, it was last active in 2011.
Mm.
And it kind of sucks, but yeah. Twitter is going to stay KDZen _.
Okay.
And Twitch right now is KDZen _ until a certain date.
Gotcha.
I don't want to say which date because I fear that some asshole is going to try and swoop that up when it becomes
the more you talk about it, the and more then, chances somebody's going to do that to troll you. So yeah, just let it go for now.
Right.
But yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah. You'll be fine. All right. We'll so KDZen _ on Twitter. Yang is at Yingity Yang. And so follow him and also follow his Twitch as well. Both these guys stream. In addition to being fantastic, you know, KBMod podcast hosts and community members, I am at APL Fisher. I do not stream, unfortunately. But if I, I do stream sometimes. You can find me at twitch.tv/MrFrost231 for the occasional stream. And thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you guys listening every week. And also to all our live listeners as well. Love you too. All right, I think that's going to do it. We will see you guys next week. I believe Brandon will be back from his 32nd wedding. So,
yes, looking that forward number to that. Could have very well been changed by now.
Yeah, he may have already attended 5 more weddings.
It's possible,
the
5 more since.
Just think about it. You land in an airport. You see so many people. That's like people, you know. Hey, dude, do you want to come to my wedding? Yeah, sure. Hey, exactly. You too.
Exactly.
That's like he's got 3 weddings booked up on the spot right there.
He books up quickly.
Busy man.
Very busy.
He's the professional wedding attendee.
You know that the website that's like the national debt calculator going up? It's pretty much like that, but for Brandon's weddings, and it's already like 19 trillion just going up and up and rising.
Jesus Christ. God damn. All right. Yeah. Well, that's going to do it. We'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Ikari Allah!